don't just exist, live. Live on AWR SID Media.
Join us now is our guest evangelist, Patrick Ncedisi Nyebeta, who's going to be helping us navigate our way through. And this time around, we're dealing with chapter 11 of the book of Exodus. Evangelist, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Hey, Fundisi, how are you?
I am well, sir. I'm well. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. I'm good. I thought it's half past two. I was sleeping. I thought it's half past two.
I'm glad you're awake. I'm glad you're awake. I'm glad you're awake.
Okay,
all right.
Okay,
can we confirm that we're both prepared? Chapter 11, Exodus chapter 11.
Chapter 11, Exodus.
Lovely. So the chapter 11 is fairly short, that'll give us enough time to deal with the issues therein. So let's begin. I'm reading it as per usual from the NIV. If you prefer another version, we could go into another version. It reads, "Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that you out completely, you men and women alike, are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the Egyptians to do as the people. And Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by himself. Was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go, go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, Mangel, briefly give us your comments, and then we can get into the questions.
Chapter 11.
Yes,
sir. It's a continuation of the plagues.
Right.
Yeah. At the same time, now we need to go deeper, bit by bit. What can we come out with this chapter for us to learn today? But
right,
it's a continuation. It's better, you know, most.
Yes.
At the same time, there is that big better that is that big plague that
right,
God is about, God was about to hit Egypt.
Right.
About it, yes.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's get into it. A very short chapter, but with very big consequences. Let's begin with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. I'm curious there, Mvangeli. God seems to be giving one man the responsibility to decide, but everyone else gets punished because of the bad decision of one man. Egypt is led by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gets to decide. And Pharaoh's decision, good or bad, causes everyone else to suffer. And yet, God is not so totalitarian when it comes to the Israelites. He gives each and every household in Israel to decide whether to put up blood or not.
He gives them the chance to decide their own fate, but the Egyptians never had their own fate. How is that justice?
God, Uthixo is a very fair God. He's a very fair God. What comes out of your mind is what comes out of my mind as I was reading this chapter. Egypt was in a problem because of one man. That man was Pharaoh. And Uthixo, instead of dealing with Pharaoh, instead of Egypt, a problem because of one. Remember, we are in a problem in the planet because of one man who sinned, and the man who was in the man who was refusing to take Israel out of Egypt here was Pharaoh. So God had to deal with Pharaoh, but Londo Yakosa. In the Obanga, but everybody who was in Egypt were under control. You hear me?
Yeah, but I'm trying to establish the Evangelium. Why does God punish everyone for the wrong of one man?
Wow. Why does God punish everyone? See, this is why I'm saying to you, Mr. Lupondwana, that as much as it's only one man who sinned. Remember, God punished Jesus. But city abantu abonileyo.
I need the reasoning. I understand that. We can even get into that, but I need to know the reason.
Okay.
God does not appear to be applying that to his Israelite people. Every Israelite household has the chance to decide for themselves. There is no decision that by virtue of Moses putting up blood in his house, every house is protected. There's no such thing. Mm-hmm. Every household needs to decide for themselves, and it gives them that chance to decide
every
for
house,
themselves.
Every household.
But the households of Egypt are not given that chance. God simply punishes everything that says is under Egypt because of one man's decision. I'm asking why. Why is that? And that you can't tell me that's fair. There's no fairness there. Why is God acting so unfair to the Egyptians? And yet he gives the Israelites a chance to decide for themselves. Why?
It might look like God was unfair. On our eyes, it might look like God was unfair. And remember, here, God was dealing with Pharaoh.
Exactly.
Pharaoh, who don't want to deliver the Israelites. As much as every household was the benefit in Dogbangaba, they can stand on their own. But when we read the, I don't want to get out of the context of this chapter here, because God here was dealing with the Pharaoh, the single Pharaoh.
Then why doesn't he kill the firstborn son of Pharaoh? Why kill the firstborn sons of people who had nothing to do, who didn't even have the influence to influence Pharaoh? Why did God kill the firstborn sons of people who had no part in the Pharaoh's decision?
Lupondwana, I might not give maybe a correct answer there. Because let me fairly say to you, yinto nam and nayo leyo as I was reading. And I was reading, why Uthixo ezawudilishana nabantu abangonanga instead of killing only the Pharaoh's Pharaoh's firstborns and leave the rest. But ngenxa yendoda eyi-one who sinned, but yonke Egypt was in a problem. All the firstborns of Egypt were dead. I might not give a correct answer on there. Maybe let me say, I must find out about it again. I don't know.
Okay, not a problem. Let's move on to the next question. Not a problem. Another question is based still on verse 1. God says, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh. Which means God knew that he has a set of 10 plagues. He knew. So there was no way. So God knew that he's going to harden the heart of Pharaoh up until he satisfies himself by bringing 10 plagues. So Pharaoh had no say in the matter. If we're to follow God's wording here, it stands to reason that whether Pharaoh had a good heart to let these people go, the Bible says God hardened his soft heart. which means Pharaoh is a victim of God's desire to display anger and vindication, visiting violence and cruelty on children. So there was no choice by Pharaoh there. Pharaoh didn't have a choice in the matter. Even if the Bible says his heart was hardened. I said this to the pastor I was talking to last week, that harden something, that means it is not hard. If you're going to harden the Pharaoh's heart, that means the Pharaoh's heart was not hard. If it is not hard, which means he was willing to let these people go, but God still wanted to visit evil upon these people.
So in other words, you are saying to me, Pharaoh, why not need to come out of that?
No,
but God hardened his heart.
I'm saying, Vangel, if we're to read the text, the text says God made the heart hard. Yes.
No, the text said so. The text said so exactly.
Yeah. So if God made that heart hard, that means it was not hard. So Pharaoh, being Pharaoh, he was going to let the people go. But God changed his mind by hardening his heart. And the point that I'm bringing for today, Vangel, is that it appears as though even if Pharaoh could have said, I want you guys to go. I'm letting you guys go.
I'm letting them go.
Yeah.
Okay.
God would have said, no. No. I said, no. I want to kill your children first.
Lupondo, it's very difficult for me to understand indlela uThixo ahandlishe izinto ngayo. It's very difficult. And ke ngoku it difficult injalo njena every time when we read we always had these questions that you had onayo nawe. We are gone because there was no reason ndoba ngaba ide iyofikela kwi stage number kwi round number 10. Even round number 1 was enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Round
number
1 enough for Pharaoh to let the people go. But the Bible says uThixo hardened inhliziyo kaPharaoh so that ayide yokufikela ku round number 10. We are gone.
Okay.
So what I'm saying here, it's very difficult for us to in our minds. That's the way I saw to understand God's indlela enze izinto ngayo. And the problem, yeah, remember, it's God dealing with Pharaoh so that Israelites can be delivered.
Yeah, but we need to even correct that, Vangeli, because it appears if everyone's child is going to die, God was not dealing with Pharaoh. God was dealing with everyone, because everyone... If God is going to... What is your church, your local church?
My local church is Langa SDA.
Langa.
Langa SDA, 7th Adventist. Yeah.
So if God has an issue with the elder at Langa, God should kill the firstborn child of the elder at Langa. If the entire church loses firstborn children, God is no longer dealing with the elder. He's dealing with everybody.
Okay.
So we can't say that God was attacking or dealing with Pharaoh. God had an issue against everybody there, particularly the innocent children who did nothing. If the evil was the evil of the Egyptians, God didn't deal with the Egyptians only. He dealt with innocent children who had nothing to do with the evil of their parents.
Okay.
And the question is why?
I hear you loud and clear. I think allow me to say to you now, because on a serious note, I'm locked now as you speak. I'm locked. Allow me to say to you now, let me try and go again to one of the theologians to try and expand this more and more. But I'm not a theologian, I'm just an evangelist. And I'm studying the Bible like you. I don't study deeper like the theologians did. Because the same questions that you have are the same questions that I have.
Okay.
Yeah, God.
Okay. All right.
Are the same questions that I have.
Let me give you another question, Vangel. Verse 2 says, tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold.
Yes.
Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. Now, God here says, ask and I'll make them give their money to you.
And they give.
So here, we are talking about people who willingly gave their money to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who were hypnotized by God to give away their money.
Hey, look, this is deep, man. This is deep, buddy. This is deep. Because I'm not trying to defend God, né? Please. Yes. I'm not trying to defend God. God must defend himself. I'm saying here is they gave all izinto ababenazo to the Israelites. Remember, they gave gold, silver, blah 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 blah. And at the same time, Uchiko was involved in this thing.
Verse 3 says, The Lord made the Egyptians Lord. Favorably disposed.
Yes,
so he made them. They did not do it voluntarily. It's on all the goodness of their heart. And this is the situation that we find ourselves in today, where people are criticizing our faith. The Christian community is criticized that it is making people pay tithes and offerings, and yet these very same people are poor. When you go to Langa, this is a community of people that are still trying to make something for themselves, and still the churches are making these people give offerings and tithes.
And okay.
Why make people who don't have anything to give from nothing? That's what people are criticizing Christianity on. But for today, my question is on this verse, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God make them? Why make them? Why doesn't he allow them to just give out of the goodness of their hearts? Why make them? Why manipulate their voluntary capacities and make them? Why hypnotize them? Why delude them? Why make them? Why?
Uthixo akakuniki akayifuni into engakhanga kunike kuqala. Remember, we are paying tithe. We are not paying tithe. We don't pay tithe. We bring back tithe. Uthixo ukunika into, then ekugqibeleni athi ndinike this from that thing on the side of kwinantsika kuqala. Let me answer it on the side of tithe.
No, yes, I don't want us to go to the tithe side, Mvangeli. I want us to stick to this verse. This verse is saying God made them. The Lord made them, the Egyptians. And I'm trying to understand, for a person who's listening and reading this for themselves, why? What kind of a God makes people do things? Didn't we say God is a God of choices? Why doesn't he allow them to make the choice for themselves? Why make them do it? Yeah. Where is the freedom of choice? Where is that freedom of choice?
Wow. No, I'm locked.
Okay.
I'm locked, my friend.
All right. Let's move on to the other one. Verse 4 says, so Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. So according to Moses, it doesn't matter. Even if you could do something about it, if you have to change your mind now, even if you have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let you go. It will happen. Am I understanding this right, Mvangeli, that God was hell-bent on killing children that night? Regardless of what's going on, it will happen.
The Bible is telling us, Ndobangaba, uThixo yena wasesithathile isigqibo. He already took the decision. Ndobangaba, he's going to kill.
So regardless of his repentance, even if the Pharaoh were to repent, the decision has been taken, therefore your repentance is useless.
I might not say so that the repentance was maybe was useless. As much as God, remember, uThixo isigqibo had already taken. Intobangaba, he's going to destroy. My brother, this is serious, man. This is serious. And at the same time, now you're coming Angela, I never thought of. All what you are saying, I never thought of. I don't want to lie to you. I never thought of it. As much as we know, Intobangaba, uThixo is a God of choices. he's a god of, repentance, of second chances. But as you expand now this to my mind, to my mind, trying to give only knowledge from me, I'm getting deeper and deeper and deeper and trying to think more and more. Because remember, I said I don't want to defend God. God must defend himself. Because at the end of the day, this Pharaoh and these people, ithuba lokubanga bazithethelele lalikho. But God had already took a decision. And when we read forward, the decision was applied. People killed, children were killed. Everything was killed up until Pharaoh said, these people must go out. So to me now, I'm saying honestly, let's call us a Sabbata. I guess just call us a Sabbath, my friend. Let me dig and dig again. And the phone ukumka apa. I don't want to leave the pond when I hear Simbone. Remember, I don't want to see me up as Nabapula Pula Simbone as a god, as a cruel god, as a god who don't give us chances. But as much as with chapter 11, when you read it, usnika long namango. You know, bangaba uthiko here was cruel. Why again? At the same time, I had niche increase your to over no kuka. We are gone.
Okay.
I don't know you hear me. I don't know you hear me.
I hear you. Let me give you one more question because when you
close this chapter.
Yeah. So that, so that when you go and research, you can come back with
all these questions. I'm going to research it.
Yeah.
Give the question. Okay.
So the verse 6 says, there will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be.
Mm.
Which means that it doesn't matter how much you could cry. These people were planned. God wanted to hear people loudly crying and weeping.
Mm. Because they lost their children.
People are watching their firstborns die. And God says, I predict that after I have killed her firstborn son, she's going to cry. Mm. Both men and women, everyone is going to cry. There will be so much loud wailing that you will never remember ever again if there will ever be ever wailing like this. So God really is not touched with the tears of people. He doesn't really care, is it? Is that what we're seeing here?
That's a strong statement.
So what does that mean?
It doesn't mean that he's not touched. Remember, we're dealing with one man here. All this thing is about only one man.
It's not about one man. We already agreed, Mvange, that it was everyone's children, not just one man's children.
We already agreed that everyone's household. But now, I don't want to run with something that says Uthixo was not touched with the cry that took place in Egypt after that killing.
So what does that verse mean? Help us understand what that verse means.
Ubunzulu benhliziyo yongaguquki kukaFaro. I'm going deep down and deep down now. Yongaguquki kukaFaro is the one that causes all these things. And the people, at the end of the day, they lost whatever. They lost, more especially, izinto ezisondeleyo kubo, their firstborns.
Does that mean, Mvangeli, that if our leader here in South Africa, for example, here in the Republic, if His Excellency the President Cyril Matamela Ramaphosa were to take a terrible decision against God, because He is our Pharaoh here, we will suffer the consequences of His bad decisions. And it doesn't matter how many elders and how many churches, how many Adventists pray and fast, everyone will suffer because our president, God is dealing with our president. So our prayers, you can be an evangelist and a pastor and an elder, doesn't matter how much you pray, you will lose your firstborn child because God is dealing with just Matamel. Is that what you're saying? That God was dealing with Matamela and therefore Nyebeta is going to lose his son. Lupondwana is going to lose his son. It doesn't matter how much Naya prays or Nyemeta prays, he will lose his son. And Bible, God says here, everyone is going to cry. Any and everything is going to cry, regardless of whether you had any influence on Matamela and his decision. Is that what we're hearing here?
God must deal with Matamela, my friend, not with Nyemeta and Lupondwana family.
But here, God is dealing with everyone's family. In Egypt, he didn't deal with just Matamela in Egypt. He dealt with everyone's child, including Nyemeta and Lupondwana's child. That should be the case. Absolutely. And but here, it's not the case there, Evangelist.
So in this case of this chapter, as much as I said, let's go and dig it more and more again, but Uthixo must deal with the person, not with that, with all the entire people, because So allow me to say today from Mhlobo wam ngelizwi elihle, just with a beautiful voice, with a nice voice, to bangaba uThixo izinto indlela zenza ngayo siye zisibhike amaxesha amaninzi singakwazi uzi-understand, as much ibikhona i-hole, ibikhona i-loop yokuba ngaba someone can come out of this. And ke ngoku when we read this thing eyenzeka Egypt, yinto that affected everybody that was there because of indoda egama yayo yayingufaro.
All right. Perhaps we should leave it there.
It's very hard.
Yeah, I had another question, but I realized perhaps we may not have time. Perhaps you just recess it to Mvangeli. You don't have to answer it now because
okay.
Yeah. So the question that I was hoping you'd answer is: if God is not pleased with human sacrifices, if God doesn't like killing children that will satisfy him, why did he do it here? Why did he sacrifice children here if God is not pleased with the death of a sinner and human sacrifices? Remember, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, God stipulates that he doesn't like what Molech is doing. This is what was done by Molech, the god of Ruth's, what was Ruth's land again?
Moabite.
The Moabites had a god named Molech who marveled in human sacrifices, and God says, I do not like what Molech does. And yet we see God sacrificing children there, killing children, exactly what was done by Molech. So when you go and research Evangeli, please come back with some answers for us there.
In Zulu Bible, but the Bible is deep.
Indeed, sir.
The Bible is deep.
All right.
Thank you so much, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much, Evangelist. Appreciate your time. Looking forward to your answers. We would love to learn. That's what we're doing here. We're chewing on the difficult stuff. Have a wonderful day further, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. That's how we end our conversation for today. It seems as though it is a short chapter, it's a very, very uncomfortable chapter to deal with.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.